What a fine synopsis of that important scriptural information. The time has already arrived for the final talk of this Deliverance at Hand District Convention. We have been well nourished by a banquet of rich spiritual food and practical counsel. Now we are eager to once again hear what Brother Keacott of Brooklyn Bethel has to tell us in the concluding talk entitled, Keep in Expectation as Jehovah's Day Nears.
Fine title that we have for the concluding part of this Deliverance at Hand District Convention, and that's the thought of to keep in expectation. We know our expectations are different from what the world is looking forward to. The world looks with uncertainty. We can think of even what's happened this week, how the week started, how this week has ended. How people must be looking with uncertainty at world's affairs. But what about us? How do we look at this situation? Well, let's open our Bibles in this regard to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. And notice what is said there in that text. Chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, and it keeps panting on to the end. And it will not tell a lie, even if it should delay. Keep in expectation of it, for it will without fail come true. It will not be late. So we're told there to keep in expectation, and it'll be interesting for us to note how many times in the Bible this thought of us keeping in expectation is mentioned in God's Word. Yes, we have this hope. So as we look at the world affairs, which are very disturbing, we're different than ordinary people who don't pay attention to what God's Word says. We have a hope. And we have the assured expectation that the promises that Jehovah's made in here will all be fulfilled. We know that Jehovah is the one who can deliver us out of this wicked system of things. And in addition, He's the only one who can deliver us out of sin and death. No man has the power to do that. Or even the previous thing we mentioned. And usher us into a righteous new world. And we have the assurance that Jehovah will fulfill His word through His Son, Jesus Christ. For Jehovah to take us into His new system of things is not a big thing, is it, really? He must be looking forward to the time when He's going to do it. The big thing was when He sent His Son here and had His Son die and give His life for us. In fact, the Scriptures confirm that in Romans 8:32. It says, He who did not spare even His own Son, will He not give you all other things? Yes. He gave His Son. Would He go through all that and not do what that was meant to do? And that is to help men to go into a new earth, into a paradise. We have the assurance that will take place. And this convention program has made this clearly evident. Knowing this, we grow in confidence and live in hope, despite what happens in this world. The prophet Isaiah described what Jehovah purposed to do in behalf of His ancient people. Let's look at that. Isaiah chapter 30. And there in verse 18 of chapter 30, it tells us, And therefore Jehovah will keep in expectation of showing you favor, and therefore He will rise up to show you mercy. For Jehovah is the God of judgment. Happy are all those keeping in expectation of Him. So Jehovah's also an expectation, as we've already mentioned. He knows when he's going to do it. We don't know that, but he does. He knows exactly the day he's going to end the system and reward his servants. And as it says here, what he's in expectation of it. Does he have the power to do it? We have no doubt. It's just when that time will come that he can do it. There's no question about it. When we look at the universe that he's created and everything else, we have no doubt that he can fulfill what he says in his word here. And so we're encouraged there at the end of that verse to do what? To keep an expectation of him. Never doubt your Creator, the Sovereign of the universe, Jehovah God, that he's going to do what he said he will do. This has prophetic meaning for God's restored people today. As we look forward, when Jehovah will show favor and mercy to those who have obeyed him and have listened to him. And as it says there, happy are all those keeping in expectation of him. Rest assured that if you keep an expectation and you keep doing Jehovah's will, you will not be disappointed. You can be absolutely assured of that. But those who go contrary to his will, who stop, who do not keep an expectation of Jehovah, what will be the result? Well, Psalm 110, verse 6, shows that God will execute judgment among the nations. Yes, so when his day comes, we know that there will be destruction for those who have not been looking to their Creator and recognizing him in the proper way. It'll mean the end of the nations. And after that, God's kingdom will administer earth's affairs that we had clearly brought to our attention in the public talk today, which emphasized the scripture of Daniel 2:44, that God will soon set up a kingdom that's going to crush all these other kingdoms, and it will stand forever. We have this advanced knowledge. We have the wonderful understanding of what God's word says, and this gives us cause for happily keeping in expectation of Jehovah's day. This convention program, we can say, has heightened our expectations with this wonderful theme, deliverance at hand, with that exclamation mark there at the end. Yes, the certainty that this is going to come. Just look at our programs for a minute. On the first day, we had the theme, I am with you is the utterance of Jehovah to deliver you. And we were encouraged there to be attentive to Jehovah's promises of deliverance. And as the brother just previous to me in the talk and the covering the Watchtower study mentioned, there's a difference between listening and hearing. And I often think of this when you go to the convention for the deaf. Well, they don't hear a thing, do they? There's no sound there. But what are they doing? Listening. So it's not only hearing, it's listening to what Jehovah tells us, and we know applying it. In the first day there, we had many fine topics covered, and in the keynote address, it highlighted that scripture in Hebrews 9, verse 12, of how everlasting deliverance has been made possible by Christ's ransom sacrifice. We had the symposium also there on how Jehovah, as the provider of escape for his people, that he's been that throughout the centuries. And we can be sure that he's that today. We are only here because Jehovah is protecting us. This was brought out too, and I've often heard brothers on the governing body mention to the Bethel family, they say, we wouldn't be here if Jehovah's Spirit wasn't protecting us. Would you think the devil, who is the ruler of this world, who is misleading all the nations, would have us going around enlightening people on how he's the bad one. He's the deceiver. Do you think he would allow us here? Definitely not. Just remember, we're only here because Jehovah's protecting us, as He promised He would do. And you can only continue to do this work because Jehovah keeps the way open for us. And as He keeps it open, what should we do? Get out there and do it. Because we know Jehovah is allowing us that privilege. The closing talk assured us of Jehovah's backing, despite various forms of opposition and the verbal attacks we may encounter. And we were helped to have the right view of these verbal attacks and maybe lies and misrepresentations that come about Jehovah's people. Then we come to the second day where we had the theme, deliver us from the wicked one, from every sort of lawlessness. And that text delved with the prayerful request for deliverance from the wicked one, and as it says, from every sort of lawlessness. We had a symposium again, which reminded us that there can be no let up in our ministry. The important work is to go and tell others about our God, Jehovah, and His kingdom government. Just remember that. You pack that bag, and you go out there. Always takes a bit of determination, doesn't it? A bit of effort, but you pack it, you get out there, and after you've been out there for half an hour, how do you feel? Wonderful, isn't it? That's the way we feel doing Jehovah's will. And that is the work we're commissioned to do. And Jehovah lets us know that He approves of our work in that regard. And the concluding talk stressed how we should live each day with Jehovah's day in mind. Yes, one day it will come. As Jesus said, at a time you did not think to be it, all of a sudden, that'll be it. Right? It's compared in the Bible to a woman who's expecting to have a baby in the book of Thessalonians. And they all know she's going to have the baby, but one thing they never know is the day. But all of a sudden, she says, this is it. Right? You sisters who had babies can verify that. And that's what it's going to be like with this. We're going to, one day, this is it. Jehovah's day is here upon us. The new book also, Live with Jehovah's Day in Mind, whetted our spiritual appetite for deeper insight into portions of the Bible with which we may not be familiar. And then today, we had the program featured many fine things with the theme there, Know That the Kingdom of God is Near. And we had, again, a symposium showing various features and facets of the kingdom, what it is like, what it will do. The drama. Submit to Jehovah's authority. How forceful that is. And to be careful, who are we listening to? Yes, we must make sure that it's God's word and the channel that He uses. Stick close to it. The public talk aroused our interest in the kingdom administration and its role in paving the way for deliverance as Jehovah's day nears. While this has been a convention, we could say with a bit of a difference, we had this invitation to give out to the people, telling them about the convention. Did you enjoy with the invitation work? Yeah. While many of these are coming into Bethel every day, and some people have come to the conventions too. Here's a few experiences. It says, the distributing of the invitation before the convention provided many exciting and encouraging experiences. One woman who received an invitation the day after praying to God for direction in her life drove 2 hours to attend the convention on Saturday and returned on Sunday. She was engaged in discussion by her brother and sister that she sat next to. They introduced her to a sister who lived near her home, and an appointment for a study was set. Another one here. Visitors were noticed throughout the audience on all 3 days. Brothers and sisters related how Bible studies were started after offering invitations. One man actually ran down the street after a brother left an invitation with his son. The brother was not sure what to expect, but the man asked him to come back to his home. The man searched through his van and found a Bible. He began to ask the brother questions, and a Bible study was started. Another one, we'd like to add that the special distribution of the invitations in the weeks leading up to the convention seemed to generate much enthusiasm among the delegates. It prompted some new ones to begin publishing, and some who had lapsed into inactivity were stirred to get back into action. And in California, there was an experience here. One sister says, on the first day of the invitation work, I received a phone call from a former return visit asking if I had left a tract at her door. I hadn't, so she hesitated. Noted that God was saying something to her, and could she go with me? We went to the convention, 6 hours drive. This was quite an effort for her to come, and she did come. After Friday morning session, we had a great review of the program, and then she showed me a date on her notes. It was the goal for her to be baptized as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. So those are some of the fine results of this invitation, which was a new feature of the convention. Well, it'll be good to see when all the conventions are held worldwide, just how that invitation, which we went out and told the people about our conventions, what effect it will have. Before the convention, too, in the Kingdom Ministry, we were encouraged to share the workload of various departments, caring for our accommodations, keeping the facility clean, arranging for orderly parking of vehicles, organizing the seating, providing adequate sound, so forth. Well, there's a lot of things behind the scenes, isn't it, to make a convention like this successful. And all the efforts under the supervision of the convention committee reflect a cooperative spirit. As mentioned in the scriptures, it says, let all things take place decently and by order. And this is how we see our conventions. We have them here, and they go so smoothly and orderly because of the way the brothers have been trained to care for these various operations at a convention. But in recognition of such efforts, we thank the 1,116 volunteers who offered themselves willingly. It's been very pleasant to meet in this fine facility for the last 3 days, and we'd also like to make an expression of appreciation for the cooperation of the management of the Merrill Center maintenance and administrative personnel. We are confident that it's given a good witness, seeing God's people who have been trained to show the fruitage of the Spirit. People noticed this. One sister talking to someone, the person commented about the peace and calmness among everyone at the convention. Last weekend, my wife and I were up at the convention in Bismarck, North Dakota, and two sisters overheard part of a conversation between a sheriff and a woman. The sheriff said, I love working this crowd. One of the sisters went back to speak with the sheriff to confirm what they heard. When asked, the sheriff said, he was saying he loves working this crowd. Next week's crowd, he's not looking forward to it. It's the bull riding competition and young people and alcohol. So I'm quite assured we'll be different than the bull riding competition. But regardless, yes, the peace and calmness of Jehovah's people is noted. Yesterday, all of us took interest in the candidates for baptism, and we had 58, 33 sisters, 25 brothers baptized. It really is wonderful to see, is it not, these continued ones getting baptized. You know, at Bethel, we get nearly every morning announcements of conventions, special assembly days, circuit assemblies, and particularly now the district conventions. Your greetings will be mentioned there, and how many were baptized here, that we had the 55, or 58, sorry, who got baptized, and we had a number of sisters and brothers who were baptized. But one of these announcements read as follows about a convention in Denton, Texas. It says they had a total of 24 baptized, 14 brothers and 10 sisters. The youngest was 10, the oldest was a 94-year-old sister who quit smoking at 92 because, as she put it, that stuff will kill you. So, you can see, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, as long as you know Jehovah, you've learned. And to see these ones continuing to get baptized around the world, and this was a very good number we had here at this assembly. And these ones now, as the scriptures say, are related to us in the faith. And we want to let them know we're very happy to have them here, and that we want to help them to become stabilized in the faith, as mentioned at Colossians 2, verse 7. Yes, become firm in your determination to remain loyal to Jehovah. So we have a basis as God's people for keeping an expectation of coming events. We're not just grasping in the air, as it were, is it? We have a basis. It's what Jehovah foretold. It's what He's promised. It's here in His Word. And we noticed everything we were taught at this convention. It's here based on the Word of God. Yes, God, through His prophets, described His great and fear-inspiring day that would bring an end to this wicked system of things. So it's not something that some individuals have thought up. It's not some myth. This is here in the Word of God. And many of the prophets wrote about it, but we're going to look at Zephaniah now. He wrote about the extermination that will occur and who may survive. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 18. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to deliver them in the day of Jehovah's fury, but by the fire of His zeal the whole earth will be devoured, because He will make an extermination, indeed a terrible one, of all the inhabitants of the earth. Chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Before the statute gives birth to anything, before the day has passed by, just like chaff, before there comes upon you people the burning anger of Jehovah, before there comes upon you the day of Jehovah's anger, seek Jehovah, all you meek ones of the earth, who have practiced His own judicial decision. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. Probably you may be concealed in the day of Jehovah's anger. Jesus also referred to that day, and He said that there would be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the world's beginning until now, no will occur again. So, we have trouble in the earth now, but the greatest time of trouble is, as it were, just in front of us. And Paul here, writing through the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, maybe we can open our Bibles there and look at verses 26 and 27 in Hebrews 12. At that time, His voice shook the earth, but now He has promised, saying, yet once more, I will set in commotion not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now the expression, yet once more, signifies the removal of the things being shaken, as things that have been made, in order that the things not being shaken may remain. So as Paul there, under inspiration, says, once more, there's going to be one big shaking at the great tribulation where the sovereign of the universe will go into action, and everyone living on the earth will realize what is taking place. So in view of what Jehovah will do, by means of the kingdom, we should be stirred to acceptably render sacred service with godly fear and awe. Yes, as we render this sacred service, we keep an expectation of Jehovah. Again, go back to the book of Zephaniah. We'll see that word expectation highlighted again. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore keep yourselves in expectation of me, is the utterance of Jehovah, till the day of my rising up to the booty. For my judicial decision is to gather nations, for me to collect together kingdoms, in order to pour out upon them my denunciation, all my burning anger. For by the fire of my zeal, all the earth will be devoured. Peter, in 2 Peter 3:13, we can look at that scripture too, which is very much in line with what we read there in the book of Zephaniah, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. This is a well-known scripture to Jehovah's people. But there are new heavens and a new earth that we are waiting according to His promise, and in these righteousness is to dwell. So since the world to come is new, as Peter mentions there, it'll be different from what we have today. It'll be better than anything we have experienced until now. To see who will be preserved alive then, we have only to consider those who escaped the destruction of the wicked world of Noah's day, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you still have your Bibles there at 2 Peter, just look at chapter 2, and we'll read verses 5 to 9. And he did not hold back from punishing an ancient world, but kept Noah, a preacher of righteousness, safe with seven others, when he brought a deluge upon a world of ungodly people. And by reducing the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them, setting a pattern for ungodly persons of things to come. And he delivered righteous Lot, who was greatly distressed by the indulgence of the law-defying people in loose conduct. For that righteous man, by what he saw and heard while dwelling among them from day to day, was tormenting his righteous soul by reason of their lawless deeds. Jehovah knows how to deliver people of godly devotion out of trial, but to reserve unrighteous people for the day of judgment to be cut off. Yes, these two men, Noah, while he was righteous, Lot, too, was considered to be righteous. Noah and his family and Lot and his daughters were viewed as people of godly devotion, worthy of deliverance from the execution of divine judgment. They were different from their contemporaries who perished and did not get deliverance at that time. When Jehovah's great and fear-inspiring day overtakes this world, will we survive into the post-Armageddon new world? And the answer is yes, if we keep an expectation as those who have a righteous standing with God and now are performing deeds of godly devotion and engaging in holy acts of conduct. But we had a lot of good counsel here on what that good conduct involves, doesn't it? We have to examine ourselves. And in this regard, if we look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, on holy acts of conduct, it contrasts here in verse 21 the table of Jehovah and the table of demons, and it says, you cannot be drinking the cup of Jehovah and the cup of demons. You cannot be partaking of the table of Jehovah and the table of demons. And I can remember one traveling overseer discussing this, these two tables. He says, you know, when you sit at Jehovah's table, you can sit up straight and proud. Right? At Jehovah's table. You're reading the Bible. You're reading the publications. You're out in the ministry. You're at Jehovah's table. Nothing to be ashamed of. He says, but when you're at the devil's table, you sort of slouch down. There you're watching the TV. Now somebody comes in, oh, just shut it off, shut that off. Or you're on the computer, on the internet, and somebody walks in, press the delete button. Do we ever want to be there? Do we ever want to be at the devil's table? But the devil is very subtle today, and he wants us to be at his table. He wants us to be enjoying these things that he has out there, which shows we have to take to heart all the counsel we've had here and individually say, yes, this I'm going to apply. And isn't it good to think, I'm only at Jehovah's table. I'm just going to sit there. You can sit up straight and proud. And you can look forward to the promise here mentioned here in Titus chapter 1 verse 2. Titus 1 verse 2, upon the basis of a hope of the everlasting life which God, who cannot lie, promised before times long lasting. So, God says he cannot, well, he has no reason to lie, does he? He's the sovereign of the universe, why should he lie to anybody? He can fulfill everything he's spoken about, and he will do that. So what greater assurance could we have than that of this hope based on the promise of God? And as mentioned in Romans 5:5, it says it's a hope that does not lead to disappointment. It's possible because of Christ's shed blood and is ransoming mankind from the condemnation of sin and death. So no matter where we live on the face of this earth, as Jehovah's people, we're all over the face of the earth, we live in expectation of the fulfillment of God's word and the coming deliverance. We are really in need of it, aren't we? We're in need of relief because of the groaning together and being in pain for so long, as mentioned in Romans 8, 19 to 22, where it talks about the creation that's in enslavement to correction that will be set free. It's as a groaning for that time to come. God will deliver them from the groaning and pain that human creation has suffered. And the relief, when it comes, will be permanent, not just something temporary. So appreciate the days ahead as Jehovah's day nears. Yes, as it pleases him, Jehovah reveals his purposes to his people. In Amos chapter 3 verse 7, he says, Jehovah will not do a thing unless he has revealed his confidential matter to his servants, the prophets. So he's going to tell us what we need to know. If we're there, we're going to hear it. And then we want to listen to it. And the watchtower that is referred to here made this statement. It says, as Bible prophecies undergo fulfillment, our understanding of the scriptures is refined. At times, though, we may think that a certain clarification is overdue. If it is not forthcoming when we prefer it, are we willing to wait? Do we then have any reason to be impatient? Do we doubt that a faithful and discreet slave has been appointed to give Jehovah's people their food at the proper time? Why deprive ourselves of godly joy because not everything is completely understood? Remember, Jehovah decides when and how to reveal his confidential matters. So, even though we may not understand why it's taking so long and why things aren't happening, the encouragement is to be patient. And as the scriptures say, wait on Jehovah. It will come. Today we are highly privileged to be living in the time when spiritual light has flashed up. And we have to patiently wait on Jehovah to fulfill these last things that He's promised. We today understand the figurative language, for instance, about Babylon the Great. Open your Bibles to Revelation 17, 15 to 17. We're going to read here. And he says to me, "The waters that you saw where the harlot is sitting mean peoples and crowds and nations and tongues. And the ten horns that you saw and the wild beasts, these will hate the harlot and will make her devastated and naked and will eat up her fleshly parts and will completely burn her with fire." Now notice verse 17. "For God put it into their hearts to carry out his thought, even to carry out their one thought by giving their kingdom to the wild beast until the words of God will have been accomplished." So as the political elements get more embroiled in their unity against religion, eventually the day will come when it will be Jehovah's day, because when that happens, we really have the start of the Great Tribulation, and God says He'll put it into their hearts to carry out His thought. And when we see world events today, we can see how all these things could so quickly come together. But it'll be at Jehovah's time. And that's why we have the responsibility to let mankind know what's going to happen to that world empire of false religion. Sincere individuals need to act on warning to get out of her if they do not want to share with her in her sins and receive part of her plagues. That's our responsibility, as mentioned in Revelation 18, 4 and 5. They've got to get out while there's still time. Many now realize that they're not getting any spiritual nourishment in Christendom. And we have the opportunity to help them, particularly with the new book now, What Does the Bible Really Teach? And this book is doing a wonderful work. We have numerous experiences that have come in. The demand for this book, just for the United States, has been approximately 50,000 books every day. We've had to put on an extra shift. We are just several hours ahead of the orders, you know. They come off the press, taking the boxes to the congregation to keep up with the demand there is for the new book. So Jehovah's having a tremendous work done. You're sharing in it. Get out there. Have a good time with that Bible Teach book, talking to other people about it. Obviously, the brothers are having a good time. We have reports that Bible studies here in the United States are up by about 40 to 50,000 in the last year, from last year. So many more studies are being started, and it's with this new book. And those who've had some association with God's people but have not yet taken a definite stand must act now to show that they're on the side of the truth, listening to Jesus' voice. The influx into the organizations helps us to see the need to be exemplary in attending our Christian meetings and benefiting from them. Yes, we never want to neglect this provision from Jehovah. So, all the more so, we are happy to be together, like we're here at this assembly, meeting in larger numbers each year. And for the 2007 year, 3-day district conventions are planned again in all parts of the earth. Last year, for example, the Godly Obedience District Conventions were held in 158 different lands and 10,968,534 attended. So in view of these happenings and the significant theme developed in connection with this year's convention program, the governing body has prepared the following resolution for your consideration. According to God's prophetic word and its fulfillment thus far, we are approaching an unprecedented time of trouble for the present world. Jesus foretold in his great prophecy on the conclusion of the system of things, "There will be great tribulation such as has not occurred since the world's beginning until now, no, nor will occur again." In view of what was decreed, what position do we, as Jehovah's Witnesses, take toward the world? At times, the expression "the world" refers to mankind in general, as at John 3:16. However, the Bible plainly shows that the term "world" can sometimes refer to human society that is alienated from God. Note Jesus' words regarding this latter world at John 17:14. "I have given your word to them, but the world has hated them, because they are no part of the world, just as I am no part of the world." This is a vitally important principle by which Jehovah's Witnesses are guided. In view of the foregoing, as Jehovah's Witnesses assembled at this Deliverance at Hand convention, we make the following declaration and resolve. First, because of our love for Jehovah and our neighbors, we are determined to intensify our witness to the world of mankind, regardless of their race, nationality, language, or station in life. Second, having made an unreserved dedication to God, we are determined to give Jehovah our exclusive devotion. He comes first in our life. Third, just as Jesus was no part of the world, neither are we a part of human society that is alienated from God. Fourth, out of loyalty to Jehovah and His Son Jesus, we are firmly resolved not to compromise the Bible's righteous principles. Fifth, we utterly refuse to become involved with futile interfaith movements as well as social programs and schemes designed to perpetuate a system that God has condemned as a failure. Sixth, we will continue to show relative subjection to properly constituted authority, respectively giving to Caesar what is Caesar and rendering to God the things that are God's. We do not take sides or become involved in political controversies. And seventh, we will resist with all our strength the spirit of the world, manifested in such things as materialism, unwholesome entertainment, overindulgence in food and alcoholic beverages, the plague of pornographic material, and the curiosity or temptation that lures one into association with outsiders through internet chat rooms. Our resolve is to be no part of the world as we carry on worship that is clean from the standpoint of our God. In all these ways, we are determined to give evidence of being no part of the world, making that manifest in every aspect of our life and in our relationships with others. With the help and strength that God supplies and support from His inspired word, we will maintain a scripturally balanced position during this time of distress and upheaval. As Jehovah's Witnesses, it is our resolve to remain set apart from the world in accord with sound scriptural principles. We are determined to pursue this course wholeheartedly so as to have God's favor and approval. Thus, our expectation is to survive the end of the present wicked system of things into a clean, righteous, and enduring new world where we may enjoy God's gift of everlasting life. All those in favor of adopting this revolution, please say aye. Well, your expressions with this resolution just adopted determine that you want to act in harmony with it. And as you keep in expectation as Jehovah's Day nears, live in anticipation of the gladsome time when all the things making of the composite sign have reached their climax. Yes, we also keep in mind the wonderful blessings, not just the time of trouble that we also face, but what's going to happen after that. We see beyond that. As mentioned here in Luke chapter 21, verse 28, the words we have of Christ Jesus here, Luke 21:28. "But as these things start to occur, Raise yourselves erect and lift your heads up, because your deliverance is getting near. And a watchtower that discussed this in 2005, January 15, said, do you appreciate these timely reminders? Yes, it asked us, do we take note of them, or do we feel they're too repetitive? I can remember one of the governing bodies saying, last days, all you people talk about is the last days. And then he says, well, what do you expect to hear in the last days? So, if we're here in the last days, that's what we're expecting to hear. We want to keep our spiritual vision clear. Don't let it grow dim. Don't let your lose your patience or your endurance. Keep studying God's Word. Keep your hope alive. Yes, keep an expectation. Not with any dread, but with feelings such as those expressed at Psalm 33:1, where it says, cry out joyfully, O you righteous ones, because of Jehovah. No greater cause for rejoicing could we have than knowing that Jehovah, through His Son, Jesus Christ, will fulfill all of our scriptural expectations. All of them that are here in God's Word will come true, including deliverance that is now at hand.
What abundant provisions Jehovah has made to help us keep in expectation of Him. How thankful we are for the blessings received at this convention and for the refreshing association with our brothers and sisters. What a thrill it was to witness the baptism of 58 new ones who have availed themselves of Jehovah's provisions for everlasting deliverance. How pleased Jehovah must be seeing this gathering of loyal worshipers. With the convention theme, Deliverance at Hand, ringing in our ears, we return to our assignments and congregations more determined than ever to serve Jehovah with joy and zeal. Friends, would you like to send your love to the Bethel family? For all His goodness and for all the copious spiritual provisions He has showered upon us through His faithful and discreet slave class, Jehovah deserves our most heartfelt expressions of gratitude. So let us stand and sing together song number 212, entitled, We Thank You, Jehovah. We invite all 6,052 in attendance to join in praising the One who has made this grand occasion possible. Following the song, Brother Keycott will offer our closing prayer. That's song number 212.
Our Sovereign Lord Jehovah, in the name of Your Son, Christ Jesus, we approach Your throne to express to You our grateful thanks for this fine Deliverance at Hand convention that all of us have enjoyed. What a rich spiritual feast we've all had here, of many things that You are warning us about, encouraging us, and helping us to see how You're kindly leading Your people toward life. So Jehovah, we have absolute assurance that You're going to do everything You've said in Your Word, and we see so much happening today that gives us confidence that Your Word is true, and that soon we will see Your name completely sanctified, that all will come to realize that You are the Creator and the Sovereign of the universe. So we pray that You'll help us to show that we expect this deliverance soon at hand. By the way we're using our lives now, and may you help us, we pray for those who are getting on in years, don't have the health and strength they used to. May you be with them and help them to continue to do whatever they can. You know that what they can, and you'll be pleased with whatever sacrifice they make. We also think of our younger ones who have faced this world, their youthful desires, and pray that you'll be with them, that they'll also draw close to you. We've had such fine examples right here on the program that was of encouragement to us. So may you be with all of your people. We also bear before you at this time the international or the larger conventions that will be held in Europe, where the governing body will be attending, that these also may be to the praise of your name and to the encouragement of your people in those countries there. So for all these things, we're grateful to you. We ask that you'll forgive us where we fail you, be with us now as we travel to our homes, and that we may retain these things and use them in the future to help us to draw closer to you and have a stronger relationship with you. We thank you for this all in Jesus' name. Amen.